Good Sabbath morning to every one of you, and hope you have a great 98. This is 98, isn't it? Yes, I think it is. Where did the time go so quickly? 1997 is now behind us. So many things happened in 1997 that it's impossible to recount them, but we do have various publications and magazines and other items that come along. If you watch TV, you just get overloaded with a recounting of the events of 1997. And it depends upon the perspective of the individuals reporting as to what's said. For example, if you're watching an entertainment network where they go back and tell you what happened with the great movies of the year, with the entertainers, the big shows and all that kind of thing. If you watch it from a news perspective, well, then they go back and give you a calendar of events going back to January of 97, and then coming through right to the very end of the year. I like to do that. I don't mind telling you. I like to go get a magazine like this one, which is Life Magazine. And, of course, you can see on the face of this particular magazine the what has been determined to be the most significant news event of 1997, which was the unfortunate crash of Dodi Fayed and Princess Diana, and it took both of their lives. I like to take the time to thumb through these types of magazines, something that is a little bit more general, and recapture some of the major events, some of the things that I may have forgotten that were really significant. I want you to think back to your 1997, if you will, if you can. I don't know if that's possible to recollect all those thoughts in just a few moments, but I'm going to ask you to do so. I'd like to begin the sermon then as we go along now to just recount some of the things that are in this magazine as well as some other things. And then I'm going to get to the really important events of 1997. And I don't think you're going to find any of them reported. Not one major event that I'm going to tell you about was carried in any magazine last year. And yet I assure you, the events that I'm going to tell you about that occurred in 1997 that went unreported are the most significant events that occurred. And I'll get to that in just a moment. Oh, by the way, it involves you, of all things. And yet I haven't seen any of our names in the magazines, and I haven't seen them published anywhere, and I haven't seen really too many of us on TV. So you'll have to just bear with me as I work my way through that. I want you to think back to 1997 a little bit. There was an event that took place that tended to mesmerize people, and I'll confess that I went out on my back porch and I looked up into the heavens as I was instructed to, and I was a little bit intrigued by nothing more than a bright light in the sky. It was nothing more than a humongous chunk of dirt and gas, and it was a comet, and it was called the Hale-Bopp Comet. Some of you have heard that. And the reason why I'm bringing this out is that it was commonly reported that our nation, and the world for that matter, was somewhat arrested by that event, because this was an event that only takes place every so many thousands of years, and so people, because of the rarity of it, they followed the instructions and they would go out in the backyard and they would look at that comet, and I confess that I looked at it. But really, that was no big deal, was it? It was just something rather unusual, something a little bit different. While we were out watching that comet, those of us who did that, the problems that plague our earth were still going on, some of them unnoticed. We were still fighting war after war after war. Wars were being fought over land, over race, and religion, as they have been fought for decade after decade after decade. We brought new children into the world, some to stations of privilege, and so many poor, and so many who are now starving. That event took place in 1997, and it's going to take place this year as well. In all that took place with politics and world events and the exchange of governments and so forth and so on, very few people took the time to just stop and look around and wonder what this is all about. Because it's much more than a comet, it's much more than a war, it's much more than giving and dying, although that is a part of life. There are events that are taking place today that are significant. And they're going to take place this coming year if we'll all just do our part. And I assure you they are more important than the major events that were reported in 1997. So go back with me just for a moment then. I'm going to recount some of the events. Some of them you may be familiar with, some you may not. As I already mentioned, the world last year was somewhat obsessed over this romance between this beautiful 36-year-old woman and her boyfriend, Dodi Fayed. And as I already mentioned to you, it was such a tragedy. Who could have guessed the outcome of that storied romance, that they would be killed in an automobile wreck? Their driver was legally intoxicated. None of us would have ever dreamed that that story would have ended that way. Another story that caught the news last year, we seemed to be fascinated with space, was this little, very small, 2-foot by 1-foot rover called Sojourner, I believe it was called, that went up to Mars. Now, to our knowledge, no one has ever driven a vehicle on Mars before. I said to our knowledge. I don't believe anyone has ever done that before, but I just wanted to put that in there because you never know what God and His angels have done over the centuries and over the millennium and where they have been and what they have done. So I just said, to our knowledge, no one has ever been there before. But we sent up a rocket. We sent up a little car, and it, of all things, a car, because Americans are fascinated with cars, I guess. But anyway, it went around and bumped into the rocks, and it took some amazing photographs of that terrain and sent them back to us, and it's over 100 million miles from us. Rather a significant achievement scientifically. Do you remember that we were all introduced to a sheep? Do you remember that? To a sheep called Dolly. And Dolly made headlines. Why? Because of a DNA miracle, as they call it. And she was constructed out of the DNA out of her mother, and so she was an identical, not just a twin, but identical to her mother, so they claimed. And they did not create new life, because life came from life, and we've all been through that before. But boy, it created quite a stir, because then we wondered, well, hey, I'll just clone myself and I'll live forever and we'll just keep cloning each other and I'll always be here. Well, thank God that won't happen. Do you remember the fascination? And I looked through and I saw this fellow's picture in here, and it's rather startling. His name was Applewhite, Marshall Applewhite. Do you remember that story we were occupied with? Boy, that was startling, because this was a cult leader who seemingly lured sane adults into taking poisoned applesauce and then washing it down with vodka in order to free their bodies to let go, their bodies they thought were containers, and then they were let go, and they were going to go up and catch a ride on a passing spaceship that was somehow or another hidden behind the Hale-Bopp comet. Do you remember that story? Remember the photographs down in San Diego? It was rather startling, very, very sobering. I asked myself, I thought, how could people believe something like that? Did you ask yourself that question? And yet we shouldn't be surprised, because there's no end of the things that people will believe. And they will believe things that are so far from the truth that it just can't even be described. Also this past year, there was a great big to-do about Hong Kong and the fact that after 156 years, this British colony would once again be returned to China. And it was done so in July at 12:01 in the morning. And there it is. And all the problems, all the difficulties, all the political maneuverings are still just as much a problem today as they were back then. Do you remember in our own country, back in April, we had a major difficulty up in the Grand Forks, North Dakota, where the flooding took place. Do you remember that? And in this particular magazine, they showed a picture of something that I had seen, but I had forgotten it till I was called to remember it in the pictures. But there was so much flooding that firemen could not get downtown to the buildings that were burning, because there was at least 4 feet of water. And so the buildings burned downtown for at least 2 days. And if you see the pictures of it now, it looks like it's almost a holocaust with all the burned out hulks of buildings that are still there. I thought it was interesting what the survivors said, at least a few did. The town was made up of about 50,000 people. They were all evacuated while they had to leave behind their cars, their furniture, some pets, prom dresses, lots of memories. But when it was all said and done, they all survived. They said, we got out with our lives. The rest that we lost was just stuff. And I think that's pretty much a good evaluation of that, just stuff. Life is the most important. Well, in November of this year, everyone heard about it. I'm still talking about it because I'm amazed by it, that a woman by the name of Bobby McCoy could bring into this earth, into this world, 7 children. at once. Do you know how many diapers that is in a year? Have any of you figured that out? Have any of you ever changed diapers? See, this is where it becomes important. If you have ever changed a diaper, you know what I'm talking about here. If you want to calculate it out, it means that they will be changing this coming year 15,000 diapers. Now that is a job, I assure you. And I hope all the children are fine. I hope the mother and father are fine. I was touched by the fact that they at least have it appears to be a very strong faith that directs them. And they seem to be, if you know how I mean this, very religious people, and I think that's so apropos. They're going to need their faith to fall back on with seven children all at once, not forgetting the one that was also at home already. Who did we lose this year? Well, we lost a lot of people who we would recognize by name. We lost Princess Diana, age 36. One of my favorite actors passed by, Jimmy Stewart. I still see him in some of the westerns, some of the old movies that I used to watch, and I really did like him. We also lost a crusty old actor named Robert Mitchum. All of you remember him? He died this past year. Then one of the people that I was affected by back in the 60s and the 70s was Jacques Cousteau, passed away this last year in 1997. Another fellow I used to watch on Sunday morning when listened to his voice as he would weave a news theme into the morning, Charles Kuralt, passed away at age 62. I remember as a child watching TV and listening to this next fellow because he introduced me to a character called Klim Cadiddlehopper. That was Red Skelton. I used to watch him every time he came on. I thought he was so entertaining. But I remember how he closed his program. He's no longer with us now. He's dead at age 84. But he used to close his program out with, "Good night and God bless." You remember that? We also lost Deng Xiaoping. He was a ruthless leader of China. He is going to be most remembered for the fact that he cracked down on China's pro-democracy demonstrations at Tiananmen Square. And to this day, one of the startling images that I remember and will probably remember the rest of my life is the power of one person. Not an army, the power of one person. Do you remember that incident, that picture that was recorded for all posterity of a tank that was rolling forward and a single, very slender, very determined man stood in the front of that tank and the tank stopped. I remember that. Well, Jing Daoping was the one who was behind that terrible, terrible slaughter that took place in view of all of our television cameras in that square. Well, you could probably add your own events. If you were to think back, I just recounted some of those things just to sort of take us back for a moment, because I do want you to think about some other events that took place in 1997. I want you to think about the ones that are not recorded anywhere that I'm aware of, except they are recorded somewhere, and I'll get to that in a moment. But these events will not be discovered by anyone unless they are revealed by God's divine will in the future. For me personally, there was a very significant event that took place in 1997. One of the greatest weddings of all time. My daughter was married, December 27th of this year. I will always remember that. That was a great event to me. I think it was a great event to her. I still, we were talking about it with Mrs. Kitchen just before church, and I remember standing there with her on my right arm, and the beautiful assembly of people, and everyone was gathered together, and I was looking at her all adorned in that beautiful white gown and the veil over her beautifully attractive face, and I looked at her and I thought, what am I going to say to my daughter when I'm giving her away? And I just reminded her that she had been brought into this earth 22 years ago, and this was her moment. It was a special moment for her. And it was going to change her life. And then I just reminded her of how beautiful she was. And I felt real proud. And I'll confess to you, I didn't say another word because I knew I couldn't go on. I probably would have had to have been dragged down the aisle to give her away. But it was a wonderful occasion. So I recount that to you just to let you know that all of us have significant events that took place in 1997. That one didn't make Life magazine. But it sure made my life, in part. So there are all sorts of things that we can identify with. But as I was thinking back to 1997, it all of a sudden dawned on me that there was a somewhat of a comparison to some of the events in the Scripture. Because at the end of 1997, on the movie scene, do you know what the number one movie was? And I assume still is. It was a show about a big boat. Remember that? Called the Titanic. A terrible tragedy that occurred about 80 years ago when thousands of people lost their lives in the frigid waters of the Atlantic Ocean. And it was a terrible experience. But I got to thinking about that and how we're all caught up in that and reproducing it, and it's one of the greatest events in movie history, cost $200 million. And also, it dawned on me, well, wait a minute, though. It seems to me that from year to year to year, what we end up doing is we end up repeating basically a recapitulation of things that are already recorded for us. Because is there not a story that we all know about that has made eternal history? There is. It's about a pretty big boat called Noah's Ark. And we read about that. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? We talk about that, yet the Bible talks about those things. Now, what about sports characters? You know, we talk about our Michael Jordans and our Shaquille O'Neals and all these big-name athletes, Carl Lewis, whoever you might want to use. And I got to thinking about, what if the Bible talks about people like that? And you know, I discovered that it does. It talks about a fellow by the name of Nimrod. Have you ever heard about him? Nimrod was a mighty one in the earth and a mighty hunter, it says, before the Lord. So he was a different kind of a sportsman. He gets mentioned. Of course, he was involved in some terrible, terrible events in history. But at least he's mentioned. How about a young man who was able to take a sling and very accurately cast that rock and kill a giant of a man? That's a blood sport, I guess. He was quite a sportsman. I mean, it talks about him wrestling with lions and other things like that. So here the Bible talks about men who are somewhat famous, a little bit athletic, pretty well known. Maybe they weren't when they started out, but by the time they finished, they really were. I got to thinking about this terrible incident after seeing something on television about Chernobyl and that terrible nuclear holocaust that took place over in Russia. And even now there are people who are just suffering terrible diseases and dying as a result of that incident. I got to thinking about that, then I thought, well, I was reminded of the incident with Sodom and Gomorrah in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, and there we learn that God rained down from heaven brimstone and fire and destroyed those two cities. Can you imagine that? That must have been quite an explosion, quite an event that took place. So here we are talking about significant events in recent history, and in particular 1997. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me that the very same things that we're caught up in, they just have different names, are the very same things that are mentioned in the first 19 chapters of the book of Genesis, of all things. Much less the rest of the Bible, which tells story after story after story. And it captivates our attention if we'll just take the time to read it. You may have had weddings. You may have had healings. You may have had other significant events that took place in your life. And I suggest to you that most of them did, as I've already said, go unnoticed. I would like to now give you four events that took place last year that are not recorded here that I feel are much more significant than anything that I have mentioned to you so far. The first of these is mentioned in Matthew chapter 13. If you would take your Bibles and turn there with me. Matthew chapter 13. And while you're turning over there, I thought I'd just for a moment, just to make sure you're in touch with 1998, I thought I would let you know what's in and what's out. I'm interested a little bit in those kinds of things. Some of the things that are in or out, I never even knew they were in. They were out before I learned they were in. And some of the things that are in today, I honestly don't even know what they are, so I'll try to skip over those because I have no source of identification with them. The first one I am familiar with, I guess Prozac is out. I've never taken any Prozac, but I understand it is out, and now St. John's wort is in. I can't imagine taking warts, but I guess it's some other thing that you get a hold of there. Actually, I know that is not an herb or some type of an herb that you take that's supposed to help you. This I had known about, cigar bars, which I have never been involved in. They are out, and oxygen bars are in. I guess that you can go to some place and just sit at a bar, and they will give you fresh oxygen to revive you. I guess it's very good if you're in a place where there's a lot of air pollution, like Los Angeles or wherever it might be. This is out. I didn't even know what this was. spinning is out, but I do know what this is, and yoga is in. So whatever spinning is, I missed that one. It's gone. I'm sorry. But bootcut jeans are out. Wide leg jeans are in. I imagine our young people know about that. Would you think so? Yeah, I think they would know that. Cell phones are out. Digital phones are in. Platinum cards are out. Phone cards are in. Baseball caps on guys are out. Sorry to hear this one. Baseball caps on guys are out. Colored nail polish for guys is in. I read that three times, and it does read that way. Did you all know that? That the baseball caps are out, and now colored nail polish for fellas is in. Boy, what comes next? The colors orange and brown are out. Blue and brown are in. Mini skirts are out. Knee-length slit skirts are in. If you're a father with a teenage girl, you will get through it, believe me. I've been there. It says that Buddhism is out, mystical Judaism is in. Personal trainers are out, spas are in. I don't think most of these affect us, do they? Okay. And then it lists all sorts of other things. It says drugs are out, rehab is in, Nike is out, Adidas are in, and women's basketball is out, women's soccer is in. So I don't know if those things are important to you, but I found out by reading those things that basically I am out. And I am not in, and I don't know if that will ever change. Now, let's come to Matthew chapter 13. I want to get to the four things, beginning with number one, that I think are significant events that took place last year, and by the way, will happen in 1998. And they are much more significant, and I'm not taking away from any of the births, deaths, or incidents recorded in magazines like this, but they are much more significant in the long run than anything that will go into an archival rack and be put away, and maybe one of these days we might open this book up again and find out what's in it. Because isn't that what we do with things like this? It's a record of life, but yeah, okay, we read through it, and yes, it's very important, but we tend to just put it away and we never remember it again. I'm going to be talking to you about some things that have eternal duration, first of which is right here. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, "And the disciples came and said to him," talking to Jesus, "he said, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And I want to just stop right there for a moment. This is a group, an audience, that is made up of people with a strong faith. I'm assuming converted people here. By that I mean baptized, having received God's Holy Spirit. Do you understand the miracle it is to grasp even the simplest of truths? Let me give you one. When you die, do you go to heaven? The answer is no. We all know that. We're students of the Scripture. We know that when you die, you go where? You go to the grave. And you go to sleep. Now, the reason why I mention that is for some people, that is a major concern. People are worried about that. And I'm a little bit concerned about it, too, as I now turn toward the 50th year of my life, and I realize I'm a half a century old. Goodness. Can't believe that. Where did time go? But aside from that, looking into the future, I realize that just the simplest of truths brings comfort, doesn't it? It says here, "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." I remember the challenges that have been made over the years on television programs and in our articles. Something as simple as this. Do you or don't you have an immortal soul? Remember those challenges? Find and show us in the Bible where the words immortal soul are contained next to each other, because that's a major doctrine and tenet of modern Christianity. Where does it talk about having an immortal soul? Some simple little truth like that. And you can take your Bible and you can go up to someone and you can challenge someone, if you will, and say, show me in the Bible that you have an immortal soul. You know they don't. You know you don't. And yet it never clicks. It never falls into place. They never understand. It's so simple. Why don't they? Well, let's read on. Verse 12, "For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. In hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. I've run into that time after time after time. Have you? With the simplest of truths. I'm not talking about what might be called the more difficult tenets of our faith, like explaining the law and faith, or are we saved by works? Those things tend to get pretty complicated. I'm talking about just the simplest of little things. I'm talking about being able to go up to someone with the truth of Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 and let them read that. Some people will read that and it will click into place just like this, and they will change that moment. Others will read it and just say, well, that's Old Testament. It's done away with in the New Testament. It's not even relevant. How is that? You would think that if you and I add 2 plus 2, we will always come up with 4. But if you understand how I mean this, I've seen people go 2 plus 2 equals 5. They just don't get it. It just doesn't add up. Verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now verse 17 is something which I'm just using this to illustrate my point. One of the most significant events of last year. You know what that is? Is that somehow or another, unbeknown to me, and I do not understand how it works, as God's message, the message of this Bible, was presented to an audience who we have never met, and thousands of people listened to it, last year, some, I would like to say many, understood. And understanding it, it will change their life forever. Do you understand what I'm saying? That to me is incredible. That is a remarkable event. That is as significant as having a birth in your family, because then you are being given the opportunity to be born into the family of God. That is significant. That's much more important than the money we might accrue, the cars we drive, and the quality of the food that we eat. That somehow or another, we are blessed to see and hear. That took place many, many times this past year. Let me ask you at this point, some other questions that you will have an answer to. And I just want you to see what you do know. And these are some of the things that people tumbled to last year that are relevant, very important to life in the future, and peace of mind. Answer this for me. Does God know you? Does He know your name? Does He know everything about you? Yes. What's that worth to you? What is that worth to you? Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you have heard, and you hear them, and they have never heard them. In other words, we are blessed today with knowledge and understanding that those that have come before us centuries before never understood nor grasped. And today, we understand it. And a few minds, many minds, were opened up into that truth last year. Let me ask you another important question. If you lose a child, maybe in birth, maybe in tragedy, a trauma, an accident, to disease, as parents, that really works on us. That's one of the most tragic things that could occur. If that were to occur to you, to your family, I think of the TWA 800 flight, all those parents who lost their children, their loved ones, their husbands, their wives. If you lose a child, will you see that child again? You will. And we understand that. Isn't that important? Isn't that a nugget of truth? Isn't that worth something? That's worth a whole lot more than a pocket full of money, to know that we have answers to questions like that. So one of the great events of this past year is someone had their mind open. What a remarkable occasion that was. And I hope it's repeated next year, or 1998, excuse me, right now, time and time and time and time and time again. Because people need God's saving truth. That's what's going to provide them salvation. Now, the second item that occurred, the second event that occurred in 1997, is somewhat related to this first one. It did not happen to me in 1997. It happened to me in 1968. And I will remember 1968 forever as a result of this. But last year, in 1997, a rather significant event occurred in the lives of scores and scores of people based upon that first event which took place, and that is this. Last year, there were a number of people who counted the cost, who considered the consequences of living a sinful life, who decided to stand on the plank of integrity and honesty and openness and a new life. And they decided to bury their old man, the old woman, the old person. They were baptized. They were moved to do so because they know that that's required to be born into the family of God. You've got to be baptized. You've got to become a new creature in Christ. You've got to lay aside that old person and be someone new. You've got to come up out of that watery grave and be someone that you have never been before. Now, what I want you to see with this particular event is recorded over in Luke 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke 15. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 3, just a few short verses. Just a couple of days ago, for a few moments, I was fixed in front of my television watching the events that so many millions of people watched around the world, and that was that they call it the Big Apple over in New York that just descends, and all of a sudden it's a new year. Did any of you see that for a few moments? Did any of you stay up until midnight? Well, I didn't either, so I brought in the new year sleeping, which is probably the best way to do it. Betsy and I were sound asleep whenever midnight came around. But you know, all the hoopla, all the balloons, all the lights, all the fanfare, all that that took place is nothing compared to what I'm going to read to you right now. Because this is a major event. Luke chapter 15. This involves those individuals who are baptized, who are brought to salvation, who change, and who repent of their sins. Notice if you will. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And the key word there is rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now the understanding to this comes in verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. All right, let's put that in perspective. That means when one sinner repents and changes his life, that there is joy in heaven with the host of angels where God is and all the angelic beings. Well, you and I don't see that. But that's what the Scripture says. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. That tells us how important repentance is. Now, last year, during the Feast of Tabernacles, for example, I remember this very grand occasion when several of us, actually it was a pretty good-sized group of people, went down to a pool, and it was a clean pool next to the ocean. We all gathered around, and a lady was baptized. We were all involved in that, as I know scores of other people were doing it as well during the feast. But we were involved, this little group of people were involved in this one moment when this woman descended into that watery grave, came up out of it, and I thought to myself, the angels in heaven must be celebrating in a way that puts whatever happens in New York on a New Year's Eve night to shame. Because that event makes an eternal difference. The repentance of just one sinner. Just one. Much less 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. I've got to know there's a pretty big celebration up there in heaven on occasion, don't you? Wouldn't you like to be a part of that? I like to just see the windows of heaven open up just a little bit to let me see it. It would be something to behold, wouldn't it? Just one sinner repents and changes their way. That's a significant event, isn't it? Joy in heaven in the presence of Almighty God. Yes, that's important. Now, the third event may or may not have occurred to all of you last year. I trust it may have. The third event is significant because, to my knowledge, as I said, it's not been written up or recorded anywhere in a book put together by men. But this past year, several of our brethren, several of those who have had their minds open, several of those who have been baptized, had to do something that was not easy. And you've got to understand that we as human beings basically just like to do the easiest thing. Do you know that? If there's trouble, what do we want to do? We want to get away from it. If there's tribulation, what do we want to do? We want to escape. If there's stress in our life, we want to get out from underneath that stress because we just want to feel good. Some of the greatest trauma comes when you or your family are threatened with the loss of your home, a loss of a family member, a loss of a job, which means income. Those occasions, too, can be reflected, these serious occasions, when people are somehow or another called upon to stand up firm for their faith and their conviction and their belief. When's the last time you did that? I know this past couple of weeks ago, I was in touch with someone on the phone, members of the church, and I'd like to share their story with you. Because I wondered when these occasions occur, as we saw about the joy in heaven over the repentance of just one sinner, I wonder what it's like when someone like Stephen gets up there and he's in front of all those Jewish antagonists and they ask him, if you wanted to read the story there early on in Acts, about, listen, are you going to stand by your story? Are you going to tell the truth? Are you going to keep telling us about this man named Jesus? And Stephen said, now you listen! And he gave him quite a story, didn't he? And afterwards, guess what happened, brethren? Guess what happened? Sometimes when you stand up for the truth, you don't always have the blessing you expect. Do you know that? I don't mean to alarm you with that, but that's true. Just because you do what is right doesn't mean everything works out all right then. Now, in terms of eternity, we're looking at a whole new ballgame. But what happened with Stephen? Do you remember the story? He was stoned to death because he did what was right. We are challenged then occasionally when we are called upon to stand up for our faith. I'd like to recount this story to you of members, husband and wife, who we happen to know very well down in Florida. And if any of you have been watching the news, you'll know that several weeks ago they had torrential rains, just terrible rains and flooding in Florida. And this man, who is the primary example that I'll be using, he's been with his firm for a long time. And he does service work. I think it's telephone work that he does. And because of all the down lines and the difficulties that they were involved in, after all these years in working in this plant or in this company, something happened that he did not expect, though he's worried about it on many occasions. First of all, he got a new boss. Oh, boy. Got a new boss after all these years. Here the Sabbath problem had already been worked out all this time, and now he gets a new boss. He gets a phone call that he is to go into service emergency, and that is to take care of all the needs that have erupted because of the difficulties with the torrential rains and the flooding. When he first was called, he was called on a Saturday night. Ah, that worked out just fine. Never dreaming that he would be on call Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and into the next Friday, and wondering if he was going to have to work Friday evening, be asked to work on that Friday evening. So he stewed over it, debated over it, talked about it, and I'm sure he prayed about it a lot. And he got a phone call from his new boss, and his new boss said, well, I need to have you work another day. And he, the man who's in our church, a part of our family, responded. He said, well, listen, he said, I've got something I need to tell you. He said, that will violate my faith. I don't believe in working on that day. And his new boss, who was a somewhat of a religious man, he was a little bit stunned by that. So he responded, he says, well, I'll see what I can work out. And this is what I like about this story, besides the outcome of it. This man stood up and he said, well, wait a minute. No, it's not a matter of working anything out. I'm not working on the Sabbath. And his new boss said to him, well, I'll get back to you. So you can imagine where his heart was, way up in his throat, wondering about what was going to happen. And I also would like to think, I wonder what was going on in heaven above over this single little isolated incident. You think it made any difference to God what was going on here? This matter of obedience? Anyway, what occurs is the new boss calls back and he says, hey, I've worked it out. You don't have to work. And he thought, whew. He got out of that. So he was off, didn't have to work Friday evening, all day Sabbath. Then they started all over again. He thought he had been delivered from this trial. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, came right up to Friday again. And he thought, oh my. He'd already taken his stand and he was prepared to take his stand again. But fortunately, at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, he got a phone call from the head office and said everyone was dismissed. They were not going to have to work. That turned out okay, didn't it? Boy, that's such a... Is that an important event? That won't make this magazine. It just won't. I think it's pretty important, though, don't you? Pretty significant. Someone was called upon to stand on their faith, and they stood firm, even though they knew they might lose something very important to them. They stood firm because it was the right thing to do. Otherwise, our faith, our belief, is an empty shell. It's hollow. We may look good on the outside, but we are nothing on the inside. And I wonder what God in heaven thought about all that. This son that he had begotten with his Holy Spirit, who had had his mind open, who had been baptized, who had been converted, and now when it came down to it, guess what he did? Oh, he obeyed God's teaching and God's commandments. Pretty significant. Now I'd like for you to come to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, and I'd like to take us to the fourth event. And by the way, there's a chapter of the Bible I want you to read in respect to the last one that I just mentioned. I'm not going to go there for the lack of time. But I'd like you to read, if you're studying the Bible today, I'd like you to go back to Acts chapter 5 and read the entire chapter of Acts chapter 5, because it talks about how important it is when you're being persecuted and when you are in tribulation to obey God. We ought to obey God rather than men, the Bible says, and that's what that chapter is about. But now I'd like to take you to what I think may be the most significant event of all. And what I find interesting about this is that it took place in my life. I'm sure it took place in Mr. Morris's life. I know it took place in my mother's life, in Mrs. Bull's life. I could go right through all the audience. I'm sure it happened to every single individual in this audience, and yet it went unreported of all things. It's so important. It's so much greater than some of the events that are recorded in these magazines this past year. It's talked about here in John chapter 9 and verse 31. This is beyond my ability to grasp, but I know it happens because it is a matter of faith. And if you believe in God, you believe this occurs. John chapter 9 and verse 31, where it says, now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. It's just mind-boggling. I thought about that as we were led in prayer this morning by Mr. Guy Carnes. Mr. Guy Carnes, and we get used to things like this, walked up here and for just a moment called upon God in heaven to hear us. The God that created Mars, the God that created the Hale-Bopp Comet, the God who created all that there is to know and experience. We have the opportunity, the incredible privilege, to open up to Him as we are His worshipers, and for that period of time, I'm not listening to those guys. No, He hears us. Do you think about that? Think about the Almighty God of all eternity, the universe, of all that's good and great and wonderful and powerful, and all the blessings of life, the one that can heal us, the one that can deliver us, the one that provides miracles, and when you as a worshiper of His get on your knees, or you're riding in your car, or you're walking through the forest, and you call upon God, and I don't know how He does it, but it says that He hears you, He hears me, He hears us. That, to me, is the most incredible event of 1997 and 1998 and 1999 and 2000. That God Almighty, who could squash me like I could an old insect, listens. And I don't deserve for Him to listen. But He does. Notice, if you will, over in Psalm 34. Psalm 34. As we turn there, think back to the story I told you about the church member down in Florida. God heard him. God listened to him. God delivered him from that problem. He stood on his faith. Stood on his beliefs. And God heard him. Psalm 34, notice verse 15. The eyes of the Eternal are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. You know, that word cry is an interesting word there. Because sometimes we cry out to God. Have you ever had those occasions when you just go before God and you just cry? You know what I mean by that? I mean, you don't have much to say because your tears say it all. And He listens. The face of the Eternal is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears. Do you believe that? To me, that is the most significant event of 1997 and 1998. That He hears us. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Boy, do we know verse 19 is true. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He makes a way for us. It's not necessarily easy. It's not just something simple. I was reflecting on this morning. All of you have probably seen the commercials on TV about Super Bowl weekend. And one commercial in particular caught my attention, and I'm not sure why it does. Maybe it caught yours as well. Have you seen the one where the Publisher's Clearinghouse shows up at the door of these people, and Ed McMahon and Dick Clark are standing there, and they've knocked on the door, and the door opens up, and this woman gets so excited, and she recognizes them. She's jumping up and down, and she's so excited because she thinks she's won $10 million. And she throws her arms around her husband, and she hugs him, and they're just so excited, and then all of a sudden, she realizes she hasn't mailed in her envelope. And all they're doing is knocking on the door to find out where these people live that they're going to give the $10 million to. And I thought to myself, that's what would happen to me. You know, so they'll knock on my door, and $10 million, $1 million, all that kind of thing, and then all of a sudden they'll dawn on me that, wait a minute, they're looking for somebody else. I don't know whether that's a fatalistic part of our nature or what it is, but you know, it's really not appropriate. Because listen, I told you something. The Bible tells us something. $10 million, I mean, a million here and a million there. From what I've heard, the last thing any of us want is $10 million, because it'll be a bunch of problems that you would never want to deal with, right? None of you seem to be convinced on that. Well, that's what people tell me. I think it might be worth a try sometime. But my point is this. Isn't it interesting that we think that yeah, they come and knock on my door, but they're going to go somewhere else. And yet here we know that God Almighty in heaven, as I've already read to you, will hear you, will respond to you whenever you cry out to Him. But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all of his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And then verse 22. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Well, that's a promise. So those four things took place in 1997, and they are going to take place in 1998. As I told you already, none of them are going to make headlines. None of them are going to be put into a book like this or into a newspaper article like this and stored away for someone in the future someday to pick it out and look back over and say, well, wonder what happened in 1997. But there is something that's much more significant, which all of you who are an educated student of the Scripture will know. It's not really all so important what goes in there. Where you want to be mentioned is in this book of life. Correct? Isn't this the book that really matters? Those books will come and go. This one will be eternal and will last forever. So I'm not dismayed, neither am I discouraged that none of us made headlines this past year. I am not discouraged that I didn't get caught up in the local news, nor that any of my family members did for that matter. None of the events that I've talked to you about, those four things, are probably ever going to be acted out on the stage or made into a movie. But that's okay. They were captured somewhere else. Somewhere else in the presence of Almighty God. These events, and especially the one of calling upon the God of heaven to hear our cries, and he listens to those that worship him and to those that are righteous. He listens to you. All our activities, all of our conduct, all of our thoughts, all of our defense of him, all of our standing on his beliefs, some of it gets recorded. It's noted. It's acknowledged. It's real. And it finds its way into that book that really matters, and that is the book of life. I hope you have a great 1998, because you've already had a good 1997. You are God's people. You know what it means to have the miracle of having your mind open. You know what it means to have the miracle of baptism and to have conversion brought to you. You know what it means to stand firm on your beliefs and your doctrines and what you stand for. And most importantly, you know the blessing it is to get down and reach out to the Almighty God in heaven, the one who is involved with that book of life, and he listens.